It is always striking to me when I talk to a young man that's about ready to enter the military. Sometimes they will say something like this: I'm tired of people telling me what to do, so I'm going into the Marines. What draws a young man or a young lady to give usually a minimum of 4 years, sometimes 8 years, sometimes a lifetime, to go into our military? I thought on that, and the only response that I could come back to was that they see a mission in life that is worth giving themselves to. I've talked to a number of young men, and what are you going to do after you graduate? I don't know. Well, I don't know. And then you talk to them a few months later, and I'm going into the military. And all of a sudden, it's like they have a new lease on life. They have a mission. They're going somewhere, and they're going after something to defend the freedom and the people of the United States. And by the way, I'm thankful for every one of them. And I'm thankful that that mission is being accomplished. But in the spiritual realm, when a person becomes a believer in Christ, they may have had the mission of eating and drinking and sleeping and working, and that made up their life before salvation, or their lives before salvation. But when you become a believer, you are given a new mission. That means my eating and drinking and working and life functions through a new lens. And that lens is laid out in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It is the mission, hear me, of personal evangelism. The mission of personal evangelism. Now, when our astronauts are given a mission to go to the moon or go to space, it doesn't mean that their everyday life stops. It does mean that their everyday life begins to revolve around what? Getting that mission accomplished. It means that they begin to think. It means that they are putting ideas and energy and training and exercise and learning equipment and all of that for one mission. Mission is to get the mission accomplished for NASA, for our air program. They have a mission, and everything in life begins to revolve around that. And so this morning I want to preach on a new mission, the mission of personal evangelism. Your Christian faith, if you're a believer here this morning, your Christian faith was never meant to stay a covert operation. It was never meant to stay underground. It was never meant for you to get saved and then just kind of fly below the radar, so to speak, and never vocalize what Jesus did for you and who Jesus is and what Jesus can do for someone else. Our faith was never made to be silent. Our faith was given to us so that we would share it with others through the vehicle of personal evangelism. Personal evangelism is not lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism says, I'll live my life like the Lord and live my life like Christ, and hopefully other people will see Jesus in me. Brethren, that is not what the Bible teaches, though how we live our life is important to our verbal testimony. But the Bible teaches a personal evangelism that every believer must get as their new mission in life. Some have had it, and some have lost it. Some have been focused on it, and some have lost focus. Some have just been saved, and you're still trying to figure out the ins and outs of the Christian life. And I'm here to announce to you this morning, your new mission is to win lost people to Jesus, to evangelize and talk to people that you know and people that God puts in your path and in contact with you, and talk to them about Jesus. Personal evangelism is the act of a person sharing the gospel with another. I want to make it very simple this morning. Let me say that again. Personal evangelism is the act of a person sharing the gospel with another. It is the responsibility of every believer. And let's address some things that sometimes we think that often causes us to discount ourselves from this personal responsibility. Some would say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Did you know that in the spiritual gifts list, there's not a gift called evangelism? Now, can it be developed? Can you get better at it? Obviously, that's true. But the responsibility is on every one of us to be an evangelist, to be a personal evangelist. I remember at 12 years old, my parents were talking to me about being a witness. And I had the opportunity to travel with Child Evangelism Fellowship and go for a week of training and hold backyard Bible clubs with children and teach the gospel through the Bible stories of Scripture. And you know what? I was scared half to death. The truth of the matter is I didn't want to go. I wasn't excited about learning all that and then going into neighborhoods and meeting people I never met before and standing up and trying to teach a lesson that I'd never, you know, really had any experience in before. But it was placed upon my heart that there was a responsibility at 12, at 13 years old, for me to evangelize. And so it is with every person here, young or old alike. We have a responsibility to evangelize others. Some say, well, I fear that I'll be rejected. I'll be laughed at. I'll be thought weird. I'll be belittled by others. And so that keeps me from evangelizing. We're afraid that we'll do it wrong and scare people off, or we won't have the right answer. We don't know enough about the Bible to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know how to start a spiritual conversation, preacher. I don't know how to do that. Therefore, I kind of shy away from that with anybody that I know. Evangelism's the pastor's job anyways. I don't have any non-Christian friends to evangelize. I just don't care to be involved. You know, the truth of the matter is, the devil will always lengthen that list in your mind. Because who we're to go after is who he is also after. And if he can keep Christians like you and me from staying on our mission, from making it our mission, and he takes more with him to the fires of hell. Mount Zion has some great strengths. Many, many give hours to the church and serve behind the scenes in many, many capacities. I don't know of a church that works harder than our church. Your care for one another flourishes over and over again in our church. And it is a strength of Mount Zion Baptist Church. You give sacrificially to missions, and missions is a wonderful thing in getting the gospel across the world. But I believe that we are lacking in an area, and I don't think we ought to be afraid to admit where we're lacking. And I believe where we're lacking is in the area of true evangelistic zeal in personal evangelism. And that means a real burden, and that means a real concern for lost people around us. I'm not saying we don't have any of that. I'm saying that it wanes at times. I'm saying that sometimes we get comfortable just with each other, and it's just nice to be with each other. Hey, you know what? I enjoy being with each other. I enjoy our fellowships. I enjoy our times together. But sometimes the preacher is given to comfort people, and sometimes he's given to stir up those that are comfortable. And this morning is a message designed to stir up those that are comfortable. We settle in. We get comfortable with our routine, our schedule. We get comfortable with our ministries. We get comfortable with each other. And before long, the zeal, the fervor, the enthusiasm, the burden, the compassion for lost people that we know dissipates from our hearts. And it dissipates from our minds. And we're not thinking about it as often as we used to think about it. And the reality of a soul is not there in our minds. And the people that we rub shoulders with every day, we've lost sight of their soul. We've lost sight of our mission. We've lost sight of personal evangelism. And it is our responsibility and it is our duty to give ourselves to this great duty that Christ gave Himself to. Someone said a church grows three ways. A church grows by what we call transfer growth, when people who are members of other churches come and join our church, whether they are members of local churches or they have moved into town. And we thank God for every person that God brings that way to our church. We believe that God places the members in the body. Some churches grow through biological growth. That is, in which the children of the current members come to know the Lord and are baptized. And I'm thankful for the children that have grown up in our church, and some of them are serving in capacities today. And we thank God for the families that are represented and the gospel given to young people, that they can grow up knowing Christ and wanting to serve Christ. And that's important. That's an important part of our growth. There's another growth, part of biological growth, of having babies. And we have wonderful parents that God blesses and gives children. And we thank the Lord for that. But there's another growth that ought to be happening. That's true conversion growth. That is people that we go out and we evangelize and we see saved and we see come to church and they get baptized and they're added to the church. And brethren, I know that that seems like it's getting harder, but it is not impossible for somebody to get saved and baptized and begin coming to church and become a servant in the church and a member of the church. And that's true conversion growth. I want to remind you, people don't just come to church and they don't just come to Christ. Very few people have watched somebody at work live the Christian life, go home, kneel at their bed and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me." Now, there have been people that have watched a Christian life and said, "I need to talk to you about what you believe because I see a difference in your life." But you know what? The gospel is always verbal. It's not a lifestyle. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my friend, we must be committed to tell others about that truth. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the complete payment for man's sins. That's the gospel. And it's not hard to share. When you and you and you and you and you get a burden and a compassion and a zeal in your soul for the mission of the Christian, the mission of the Christian to win lost people, to care for lost people, and you begin by that burden and that compassion and that stirring and that zeal to go after people. Listen, God's going to give increase over time. God's going to save souls. God's going to bring people into the church. You're going to be able to bring people with you. But there must be a burden. There must be a zeal. There must be a renewed compassion and feeling for the fact that people are dying and going to hell. This morning is... message is set up to stir you, make you a little uncomfortable in your pew. Say, "Boy, I'm not there. I need to get there. I don't have that this morning." Then you need that this morning. Because it's the mission of the church, it's the mission of believers to evangelize the lost. You say, "Well, preacher, I believe talking to other people about religion, I believe that's a private matter. If all we were talking about was religion, I'd want to keep it private too." But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about somebody that saved us from hell and gave us a home in heaven. And that remedy is available to the person next door to me as much as it's available to me. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they know about Jesus unless somebody tells them about Jesus?
How shall they know unless somebody takes time out of their schedule to say, you know what? I'm going to somebody's house and I'm going for the purpose to talk to them about Jesus. My, I got a meeting with someone. I got a breakfast with someone and we're going to sit down and I know where that conversation, Lord, if you'll open that up, I'll talk to them about Jesus. That's the most important topic of conversation in the world. You can talk to them about Trump. You can talk to them about politics. But hear me, that's not going to change their eternal destiny. That's not going to deal with their sin problem. That's not going to take away their guilt. That's not going to give them more hope. You know what gives hope to people? Jesus. The gift of salvation. And so, if you had a cure for cancer and you knew thousands of people were dying every day from this disease, why wouldn't you want to offer the cure? In this case, eternal life, if you had the knowledge of eternal life and how to get it, and people were perishing by the thousands, yea, by the millions, why wouldn't you want to share it? That's the mission. That's our mission, folks. Our mission is to not be negligent with the gospel, but to be urgent with the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, go. In Acts chapter 1, it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In Acts chapter 1. Hear me, we can no more restrict the command to witness than we can restrict the promise of the Spirit. We all want to claim the promise of the Spirit. Man, the Spirit comes in at salvation. He makes a difference in my life. Acts chapter 1. When the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses. We want to claim the Spirit in our lives, but we don't want to claim the same command that we're to be witnesses with the Spirit's help. We have to take all of Scripture. And that means we get the Spirit. But with the Spirit comes great responsibility to be a witness unto the Lord. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. What did God have in His mind when He saved you? Here's what He had in His mind, that you would go and bear fruit, and that fruit in John 15, that fruit would remain. What is fruit? The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That fruit is somebody that comes to know Jesus as Savior. In Acts chapter 8, the church was under great persecution in verse number 1. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles, in verse number 2. And in verse number 4 it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I want you to see that the chief agents in Acts chapter 8 were not the apostles who were spreading the gospel. I want you to see that it was the church that was scattered. Church, could I ask you this question? Would it needs be that God would bring persecution upon us for us to get serious about this mission? Because when they were persecuted and scattered, believers scattered, what took place? They got back to mission. They got back to the mission. What was the mission? The mission was the evangelization of Samaria and Judea. And they went everywhere. And what did they go everywhere doing? They went everywhere preaching the word. They lost their houses, but they gained souls. What would it take for us to lose in order to get focused on the mission? The mission of personal evangelism. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. What was he saying? Hey, I got saved and my life mission changed. Everything in my life went through the funnel of evangelism. Went through the funnel of the gospel of God. Man, I got a trial. Now I'm meeting nurses and people that I've never met before. Why? Gospel. Gospel. Work. I'm going to work today. Man, I hate this job. I can't stand. I'd like to be out of this job. God, why do you have me here? Funnel of the gospel. The gospel. That's why I'm here. That's why God put me where I'm at. Lord, I'm out on doors today and I'm knocking on doors. Why am I out knocking on doors? So that everybody can see. No, gospel. The mission's the gospel. Lord, I'm sitting here at this doctor's office and I can't seem to get in. What am I doing in this waiting room? I'd like to be home. I got a whole bunch of things to do today. Gospel. Gospel. Lord, I broke down alongside the road. Had to get a tow truck. Sitting in the tow truck, taking the vehicle to the garage. Man, it's going to cost me a lot of money. Lord, what in the world are you doing? Gospel. Gospel. Separated unto the gospel, my friend. That is what the Christian life is about. Paul testified of it. Then he went on in verse number 16 to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, there may be people in this church you have never witnessed to somebody in your life. Can I just encourage you today to say, try it. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. You know why Paul kept going back to it? He saw people changed by it. He saw people converted. It's the power of God unto salvation. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing else can bring the power of God unto salvation but the gospel message itself. The power of God, our obligation. Go ye therefore. Matthew chapter 28. Go ye church this week. Go ye this afternoon. Go ye tomorrow. Stop on the way out. This track, what if? What if you die without Christ? This track, how much does God love you? This track answers the question, how to discover to have eternal life? This track, the resurrection, what it's about and what it means for you. This track, the importance of one. One. One sinner. One Savior. The importance of one. He said, preacher, how can it change my life? I remember going to Steve Ebersole's gun shop a while back. Steve got saved a number of years ago and faithful Christian today. Showed up in his gun office and right there at the cashier's desk, gospel tracks. Amen. Have a friend day a couple years ago. Steve, who's this? Oh, this is Josh. I met Josh at the gun shop. Invited Josh to church. Gospel. My life. Separate. I'm going to find creative ways to get the gospel to people. Waitress at the table. Gospel. Lord opened it up the other day. Sitting at a table and a couple other preachers were there. And lady waitress comes up and she talks about three people dying in her life in the last 2 weeks. One of them, her best friend's child. You know what God did? He opened it up. I've lost a child. We began to talk about that. Began to talk about the hope that I had through Christ to go through that. Got her address. Got her friend's address. Mailed a letter. Dolores helped me last week to get a letter and CDs out to them so that they could get what? So that they could get the gospel. Amen. The gospel. I'm not saying and using that illustration because I'm consistent in it all the time. Thank the Lord. The Lord opened that door and prompted me that day. I've missed many opportunities, but my friend, I'm reminding myself as I'm reminding you this morning, it is our mission. Be stirred this morning by the Spirit of God. You could help somebody to be in heaven. Amen. If we just go with the gospel. There are examples of people who went with it. Andrew was one. He first findeth his own brother Simon. And the Bible says he brought him to Jesus. The truth of the matter is, you may not feel comfortable this morning. You may not have talked with a lot of people or have a lot of experience in sharing the gospel. But you know what? Andrew got him to Jesus. Andrew was burdened about somebody that maybe he didn't have all the answers to, but he knew he had to get him to Jesus. My friend, the application is, you may not be able to give them the gospel, you may not feel comfortable doing that, but get them to somewhere where they can hear it. Amen. Compel them to come to church. Get them out to a community day. Care for their soul so that they can hear the gospel. Put a gospel tract in their hands. I was talking to a man yesterday. Dennis was his name. Knocked on his door. Explained who I was, where I was from, why I was there. He said, you know, I'm really not interested. Well, you can't knock the door down. You can still show kindness. And the Lord quickened my mouth as to what to say. And I said, you know, Dennis, I only meet you this one time, maybe the only time I meet you in life. If I could only meet you once, I would tell you this story. Would you read this for me? He said, yes, I would. You know, I couldn't give that all are sinners. I couldn't go through what Christ did and His suffering for us, the resurrection. I couldn't draw the net and ask Him, Dennis, would you like to be saved today? But you know what I still could do? I could still plant the gospel. My friends, there are people all over the place that, you know what? I believe they would receive a gospel tract. I believe there's people that you know that they would receive a gospel tract. I believe they might even listen to how you got saved in your personal testimony. Andrew findeth one. Andrew was not only the first disciple chosen, he was the first disciple to ever bring someone else to Jesus. Tonight, in the presentation of the Philippines, I'm going to have a slide, and I've entitled it The First Fruits of the Philippines. The very first people that came to the Lord through the ministry of Mount Zion Baptist Mission. There's got to be a start somewhere. We have to evangelize. We have to be interested in individuals. Andrew was not the guy out front. Peter's probably more mentioned in churches today than Andrew. You've been taught a lot about Peter's life, and he is no doubt about it a very admirable man, and he preached to 3,000, and he was bold. Andrew just worked with an individual. But Andrew's a great role model for us in personal evangelism. Philip arose and went to the Ethiopian eunuch, traveled to meet a man by the name of the Ethiopian eunuch in Scripture. What was that Ethiopian eunuch doing? Oh, he happened to have his Bible out, and he happened to be reading out of Isaiah 53, and he didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip came up alongside of him and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How should I, except some man should guide me?" And what ended up happening? The Ethiopian eunuch ended up getting saved and then baptized. Personal evangelism. Philip just listened and went to one individual. And it's recorded in Scripture for us. Go near, join thyself to this man. There's an obligation, but there's a tragedy. Only a small fraction of the church actively shares their faith with the lost. Less, watch this, less than 1 in 10 will share their faith with at least one other person in their lifetime. Less than 10% of believers will ever share their faith one time with one person. Only 1 in 20 will ever lead someone to faith in Christ during their lifetime. Of all the Christians in America, 1 in 20 will lead one in their lifetime to the Lord. And Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brethren, how's that going to get done without us? May I make it more personal? How's it going to get done without you? Because the mission's given to who? His children. The ones that if anybody has an appreciation for what Jesus did, it's those that have been saved by His blood. And if 1 in 20 of us are leading one person to the Lord in our lifetime. Then can I tell you what's happening? A large part of our world's dying and going to a devil's hell. Tragedy. Paul reminds us that people won't be saved unless somebody tells them. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He's speaking to believers. And he's saying, listen, God used our testimony, our gospel, to call you, to save you. He used us. Listen, there's no better, greater way to be used in the Lord's work than to be a messenger of His good news to somebody that doesn't have it. The good news. There's an old evangelist named Eddie Martin. Some of you may have heard of him. Eddie's a blunt, straightforward guy. Someone said he could never be a pastor because he's too straightforward. But he tells a story about staying in the home of a very wealthy family one time when he was doing evangelistic meetings. He said to the lady, I'll see you tonight at the services. She said, oh, I'm not going to the services tonight. He said, why not? Is something wrong? She said, well, we have a mission study group in our church, and I'm part of it. Tonight, we are meeting to talk about missions. Eddie Martin didn't like that too much. He said, you know, I would have thought that when you have a revival meeting at the church, you'd cancel those things, and everybody would support the revival. Which, by the way, is the way it should be in a church. Well, she didn't like him saying that, so she kind of got angry and said, well, I'll have you know, sir, that missions is very important. As evangelism. Every bit as important as evangelism. He was not going to argue with that, but he came back at her and he said, well, you go ahead and go to your mission meeting, but you don't care about lost people anyway. By then, tension was rising in the home. She says, how dare you say that? What makes you say that? Eddie said, well, yesterday I talked to your maid and asked her if she was saved. She said, no. And I asked her if she would like to be saved, and she said yes. And I led her to faith in Christ. I asked her how long she'd been working for you, and she said several years. I asked her if you had ever told her about Jesus, and she said no. So, Eddie said, you go along to your mission meeting, but you'll never convince me you care about lost people. He said she stomped out, and about halfway through the service that evening, that lady came in and sat on the back pew. When the invitation was given, she was the first one down the aisle, weeping and broken. She came and stood before the church and she said, I have been a phony and I need you to forgive me. I have loved church work. I have loved mission work. I have loved this church. But I haven't loved lost people the way that Jesus loved lost people. Brethren, we can sit in members' meetings and we can vote for new missionaries. It doesn't mean we have a burden for the lost. A burden for the lost means I move my lips with someone else and I instruct them how to be saved. And brethren, really churches become lazy if all they do is give money to put missionaries on the field to have a burden for the lost when we are not showing it here at home. We have the same calling as they have. The calling is to evangelize the lost. Who are you evangelizing? The tragedy is found in that the Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That means if we look at the scales, we don't have enough people going for as many people that need to be reached. It's like this. Say not yet. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Brethren, there aren't 4 months. The harvest right now is white. It's already white unto harvest, the Scripture says. The urgency of the message is not wait till your kids are out and then you'll get out on visitation. The urgency of the message isn't wait till you're at a different stage of life where there's not so much involved. The issue is not, you can't have the mentality that, you know what, I'll get to them in 2020. No, the issue is now. The issue is right now. People are dying. The issue is your neighbor right now needs to hear about Jesus. Oh, I've told them, preacher, they need to hear about it again. And they need to hear about it again. and they need you to go back and pray on your bones and plant that seed and then water that seed and water that seed again until God gives increase. Preacher, my lost neighbor, my lost mate. Preacher, I've tried, I've given up, and I say unto you, be a laborer that doesn't quit with the gospel. The treasure is Jesus. And we have that treasure in us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're to give that treasure to others, the treasure of Christ. The truth is found here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, if you can memorize four verses, you can give somebody the gospel. Truth of the matter is, if you can just be comfortable with sharing what Jesus did for you, you can give somebody the gospel. We're making it a lot harder than what it is. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He gives us a very simple truth. All have sinned. Everybody here has sinned. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a penalty on sin, and it's death. Physical death and spiritual death separated from God forever in the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 20. That's what we've earned. When I share the gospel, I share on this point. I just want you to see today that sin is serious to God. And we understand it's serious by the penalty that's attached to it. But we also understand it's serious by the price that was paid for it. And I take them to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And go through the death and just explain, you know, he had nails in his hands and they put a spear through his side. They spat upon him and mocked him and put a crown of thorns upon his head and beat him. And his blood, my friend, was shed for my sin and for your sin. That's a serious thing. The fact that God would give his own son, his only son, to die for man's sin shows us how serious sin is. That makes a gift available to you through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, the second part says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift, and the gift is matchless. Nothing can match it. It's forever in heaven with our Lord and Savior. Now, John, here's what the Bible says. These truths bring man to a crossroads. The crossroads is this. When a man hears this, he can continue in his sin throughout the remainder of his life. That may last the next 20 years. It may not last the next 5 minutes. But you can continue in your sin and pay for it at the end of this life through the penalty. Or at the crossroads, you can turn to Christ and turn to the price that already has been paid and put your belief in that and receive the gift of eternal life. And Jesus Christ is the payment for your sins. Let me take you to one last passage, John, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 and verse 13. Listen, all these verses are in three chapters in Romans. You take them right there. Stay in that book. You can read a gospel tract to them. You can open a tract and explain the gospel tract to them. There are so many ways, folks, to get it. We're just not on the mission. We've grown comfortable. We have, my children are saved, my wife is saved, we're all going to heaven. Wonderful. But what about those that are not? I plead with you, church. We are entering some days of outreach. We are entering a day with the young people in our church of each one reach one. Young people, I plead with you. What would it be like to show up in heaven? And here's little Amber. She was in a trailer park in an unsaved home whose life was probably going to be wrecked in a statistic. And one of our young people took Friday night. Amber, we're having a little activity at our church. And I'd like you to be my friend and come. Would you come with me? And Amber comes and Somebody talks to her about Jesus. And Amber's in heaven forever. What it would be to show in heaven. You're walking by a mansion and it's your neighbor. You'd gone 4 or 5 times before, but there was something that motivated you to go again. And you went again and said, Lord, you got to save this person. Lord, I'm going to care for them again. The neighbor walks out of his mansion and says, hey, come in. Thank you. I'm in heaven today because God saved me. But God used you. Brethren, those moments are going to be special. But you can't have those moments unless you get on the mission. Every Christian here, I'm challenging you this morning. I'm afflicting a little bit in your comfort zone. Get out of it. Be shaken up. Be touched for souls again. And God, if my heart's not stirred, then God, you must stir it. Brethren, if we're not going to do it, it's not going to get done. And in Brogue, I ask this question often. How many churches have knocked on your door in the last 20 years? Jehovah Witnesses? Mormons? Any others? No. No. In this area, if it's going to get done, it's going to get done by believers of Mount Zion Baptist Church. And we got to all be pulling in the same direction. I say this morning, get on board. Every believer is needed for the mission.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.